understand it better, but he made mathematics, and it's an exact science. And then he made the laws of science. True science is it has certain laws, like the first law of thermodynamics and the second law of thermodynamics has to do with conserving energy and then things tending to break down over time. And both of those laws of science go against the theory of evolution, and which goes against those two laws of science. So my point is that whether it's mathematics or whether it's science, God made these things, and they are unbreakable laws of nature. You know, the laws of nature, we hear about them. And also, God has the laws of nature's God, and they're written in the Bible. And they're mentioned in our declaration, the laws of nature and nature's God, which are the Bible. And if you break biblical principles, you don't really break them, as I've said, you break yourself. Whenever you break God's moral law, whether it's Old or New Testament, that reflects Him, who He is, you break yourself because you're going against God's moral law, and that doesn't work. And so a lot of people do that. I see people in the world, they're intelligent. I see people in the world, they're very motivated to do things. I see people in the world that may have money and so forth and so on, but they break God's moral law, and you can see they're breaking their marriages, they're breaking their families, they're breaking their lives, and they're I talked to a guy one time. He was a servant of the Lord, and he said, Brother Bloom, called me Brother Bloom. He said, when you think of me, just think of broken lives, broken lives. Now, here was a man of God, and he broke his life, broke his marriage, and broke his family. And I'm just saying that that God put these laws in nature, and we're to discover them, not to go against them. And we put these laws in the Word of God. And you say, well, you're not saved by the law. No, of course you're not saved by the law. You're saved by the love of Christ and by His honoring the law and keeping the law and dying under the curse of the law. But the law had to be honored. And even after you get saved, God sends you the Holy Spirit who works in you, Romans 8, what? The righteousness of the law. And so I was talking to Brother Bob today as we were heading to the fair, and we were talking about the laws of God and how those laws, when they're broken, we break ourselves. And we were talking about that in the realm of finances, in the realm of money. And there are certain people, they have a philosophy. They're very rich, maybe, and their philosophy is, you know, borrow yourself into debt. And get so much into debt and then die with a bunch of debt. But at the same time, you got a bunch of stuff that you got through borrowing and didn't have to pay taxes on that borrowed money and so forth. So these things may work in a worldly sense, but are they biblical? You know, and even your body is affected. You know, studies have shown that your body is affected by debt. You're a lot better off to owe no money on your house. You're a lot better off mentally to owe no money on your house, to owe no money on your car, to have no debt, no usury hanging over your head. That's just one principle. But we've been studying the science of your money, and we said, you know, the Bible has a lot to say about tithes and offerings, but there's so much more than that. You know, we've been preaching now for the fourth week, and we are preaching on money and what the Bible says about it, and it has a lot to say about your money. And last week we looked at God's way of financial freedom. Now, negatively speaking, we know that people think that financial freedom is making enough money, having enough money that you're on easy street, that you don't have to work anymore, that you could just have your own sky. Well, where did God say don't work anymore? I don't ever want to get to that point. Now, it's all right if you got your money working for you. That's good. Work for money and have your money work for you. Then you don't have to work so much for money, right? That's all right. But you should still be working. Work for the Lord then, amen? But I'm just saying that people get the idea, oh, I'll be financially free. I'll make so much money. I'll be on easy street. I won't have to worry about money anymore. I can travel. I can do whatever I want. And the Bible is very clear that if you, listen to me, if you break God's laws on money to do that, you're not wise. And if you go after money as the main thing, then you're also going to pierce yourself through with many sorrows. You know why? Because you're making money your God. And the last I checked out, the golden calf, when they made the golden calf their God, what did they do? It says they ate and they drank and they rose up to play. And that wasn't playing on the monkey bars, as I like to say. That was not the right kind of play. You know what I'm saying? That was the playtime boutique kind of play, the fornication, the wickedness, and the bringing down and the destruction. So don't make money your God. Don't make your J-O-B your job. I believe there are people that are not in church maybe tonight somehow because of job and money, and it distracts you. And so we talked about the negative side of it, and we said, but how about God's way of financial freedom, and how about considering God's way of financial freedom? And let me say that a lot of people are poor because they've broken God's principles. Not everybody. The Apostle Paul gave away a lot of money because he was serving the Lord. He wasn't rich in worldly things, was he? No, he wasn't. But I'm just saying that a lot of times people are poor because they don't give tithes and offerings, and God takes it away from them. They're poor because they're stingy, or they're poor because they're lazy, or they're poor because maybe they got drunk and they lost their job and they got into alcohol and all this garbage that destroys their life, and gluttony and all this that takes you away. And so I'm just saying that money's not bad. If you do things God's way, according to the book of Proverbs, God often times will bless your work and your money and bless you. And the Bible says, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. And we began to look at not only that, but God's plan for giving you money. Why does God let you have money? Money's temporary. You can't take it with you. But God gives you money, and he owns it. We said last week that God is the owner. You're just the manager. And I asked Brother Z, I said, who is the manager of the Red Sox? Did you get it yet?
Nope.
Not yet. I'll tell you, it's Alex Cora, right, Brother Steve? Alex Cora is the Red Sox manager. You say, how do you know that? I can't stand the Red Sox. They're the enemy. But you know, he's the manager. But who's the owner? The owner can fire the manager. And we said in the Bible, in Luke 16, we already went over this, that one of the men can tell me, though, how do we get fired from managing the money that we get? How do we get fired, according to the parable in Luke 16?
By God taking you home early.
By God what?
Taking you home early.
Dying. Thank you. Yes. In that parable, he said that this man was a manager, and the owner of the money didn't like the way he was managing it, so he said, you're fired. And he gave notice, and he had some time, so he wrote down the bills of all the people that owned his boss. And, of course, that was a crooked thing to do. But Jesus praised him in his darkness. He said he's wiser in his darkness than God's people are, because we don't use our temporary job of managing the money God gave us to get the true riches, to lay up treasures. And what are the treasures? People that will welcome you into their mansion because you help to take care of them with your money. And so, are you investing? Are you investing? The Bible says the first to be last, the last to be first. The rich will be poor and the poor will be rich. What does that mean? There's a judgment seat of Christ coming. We talked about it in Revelation chapter 11 there, or chapter 9, 11. I have to look it up. But anyway, it's there and I know when it is. It's on the fifth day of the 30-day reclamation period of the world and just before the Battle of Armageddon on the 30th day, and it's between that fifth day and the 30th day, Jesus is going to ascend into heaven, hold court, have the judgment seat of Christ. Why does he do it then? Because he's coming back on a white horse. He's going to take over the world. And guess who's going to rule? If you're faithful. If you're not faithful, he's not going to give you anything to rule over. He says it's the reward of the inheritance. Salvation's a gift, but the inheritance is to rule over the mediatorial kingdom, and that goes on for 1,000 years, then beyond that forever. And what you do now with your money will determine whether he'll give you, he said it, not me, I didn't say it, the true riches. The true riches. That is what comes to you after the judgment seat of Christ. And by the way, that's not just how much you do. Listen to this one. It's who you do it for. He said, remember that ye serve the Lord Christ. He said, so whatever you do, do it heartily from your heart as unto what? Pastor Bloom? Oh, Pastor Bloom gave me something. Oh, no, another job. Well, you got your reward from Pastor Bloom. Maybe you didn't make a face at him. You said, oh, thank you, Pastor. But you didn't get it from Jesus because you didn't do it for the Lord. And he knows it. And he'll reward it. If you do it for brownie points, like you, that's all right. But you better do it for the Lord. Because that lasts, and that is positively looking at money. And we did look at that, and we said that, and that was the first thing, why God gives you money. That's called probation. Remember that? Probation is a test. When you're probating somebody, you're testing them. God is testing you to reward you by what you do with money. And it's so important. You know, I have some apartments. I'm like you, Brother Bob. I tried to get rid of all my apartments. And I did. I got rid of all of them because I wanted a simpler life. But I have 3 units left. But they're on my property. He's in one of them. And he came over for Labor Day. Before he ate with us, we worked together. And it was a nice day. But I'm just saying, it's a lot simpler now. But I don't have as many units as you got. but where was I? We're talking about apartments and money and being tested on money. And I used to get people in and I would look up things about them. Like, do they have a job? Do they have this? Do they have that? Are they faithful paying their rent and things like that? But I went to my oldest son. I had him do it for me because he manages some huge properties in California. And you know what he checks out, Brother Jose Gonzalez? Their credit report. Now, I know some of you want to get off a credit report. That's great. But most people aren't. And he finds out if they have a low credit report, they're going to be unfaithful in every area. They're very unfaithful. But if they're faithful with money, they may not be saved, but they at least usually have a job. They usually are good for their word. I'm just saying to you, what is your track record with money? And do you rob God of tithes and offerings? Then you're unfaithful. And you're a crook. And do you rob people by not paying your bills on time? Are you inconsistent? That shows me, wow, if you are not faithful with money, I don't think you should be trusted You say, what are you talking about? Jesus said it. He said, if you're not faithful, you're not with money, you're not getting trusted with the true riches. When I got ordained, they had a group of pastors from churches around here to consult our church on whether I should be ordained. They said, we'll help you. And they questioned me. And one of the questions they asked my wife was, does he pay his bills? I can't have a woman talk in church, only in Sunday school, so I'm gonna say, does your husband pay his bills? Yes. And you know what? That is important. That is important. Because God should never entrust somebody with being on a pastoral staff if they can't pay their bills and don't pay their bills. And so we talked about God's plan for money is to test you, to probate you, probe you. And number two, we said God's plan for your money is for provision. God wants you to recognize that money's not your God, but he's your provider. And people that don't understand that, you can give them a lot of money and they'll waste it. And they've checked that out. People get a lot of money and they don't have certain character. They'll waste that money. They'll throw that money away. And by the way, that's what happens in our country with liberalism and socialism. Now they're talking about having kids and staying at home and getting a guaranteed paycheck for $9,000 a year. So you can have kids and stay. You know what I say? That's great. If you want, you should stay home. I agree with that. But is the government to do that? Or is that supposed to be your family? Government just stopped taking so much money. Cut the taxes down. You know who proposed that, Miss Alicia? J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance. He proposed that. Well, I'm just saying, I don't care if it's a Republican or a Democrat or who it is. God's against stealing. And that's what socialism is. It's legalized theft. And so I'm saying God wants to teach you provision of money, and he'll teach you the value of money. How does money come? It's got to come through hard work. It's got to come through a lot of principles in your life. And if you don't know how to work, if you don't know how to save, if you don't know how to budget, then you don't follow God's way of money. And I appreciate talking to Brother Bob. There's a guy that understands a lot of things about money. And some of the things he's talking about, I'm dealing with now myself. And some of the things we talked about with money and how to avoid certain government grabs and so forth. And you learn things about that. But I'm just saying that are you faithful in this area? And do you have the right attitude of what is real financial freedom? Financial freedom is realizing God is testing you with money, probating you, and God's plan to provide for your money. He is the provider for your money. Now, sometimes people say, well, you know, one way to not waste your money is don't have any kids. Get married and don't have kids. Or another way to save money is what they call DINKS. D-I-N-K-S. DINKS. Dual income, no kids. Only problem is both of those ways are not what God talks about in the Bible. Now, I'm saying that it's nothing wrong with having a woman bring in money, Proverbs 31. That's a good thing, but it should be a kid-related and home-centered type income. The man should be the one that goes outside the home in big-time ways. And what I'm saying to you is, I remember hearing about a poor farmer and a rich businessman. And the poor farmer had something like eight kids. And the rich businessman came up to the poor farmer and saw his family, and it was a beautiful family. I think of Brother Bob. He was talking to me about going down to a convention down here in Carlisle, and some people saw his family, and they're born-again Christians, and he got to meet the head guy over a big website that talks about these things where he was with his family. Just the testimony of Christ, of seeing a wife and a kids and a good family with a good spirit, you know. That's a blessing today when we got so much garbage of divorce, and we don't need to be meditating on these things. We need to be doing the positive. And anyway, this rich businessman came up to this poor farmer, and he said, looked at his eight kids, and he goes, "These are they which make a rich man poor." And the farmer looked at him, and he said, "No, sir, you've got that backward." You know, that word for backward. "You got that backward," he said. "These are they that make a poor man rich." And by the way, when you have kids, it's like Social Security, right? You know, my mother, if she just went into a nursing home, she'd be looking at birds. They all have birds, and they have these bird cages. You know, people sit around, they look at the birds. You know, I don't care which one it is, I've seen them all. They have birds in every one of them. And I'm not saying they're not doing a job, but my mother, her rent would be $11,000 a month in a normal nursing home that I've dealt with. I dealt with it with my father. You know, how much better the Amish have, that they have a place attached to their home or in the back of their home, where if they can, they take care of their parents. Now, I'm not saying I agree with everything Amish. They have a lot of salvation by works and stuff. But they have some values that we've gotten away from. And we need to get back to the book right here. We need to stop following the world and just hanging behind a little bit. I noticed now, you know, I used to listen to Focus on the Family. How many have heard of Focus on the Family? James Dobson. They used to talk about spanking. Now there's nothing about spanking in there. It's only time out and taking a toy away. And whatever happened to the little bit of switching on the comfort zone? You know, what happened to that? I'll tell you what, they're just following the world. Right. But they stay a little bit behind, and they make me sick. You know, I'm just saying. I'm not saying everything is bad that they're saying. No, they don't. I don't mean they're all bad. But they water it down. I don't like to water it down. I want to get it right. And so I'm saying God's plan for your money is probation, but it also is provision. And we're talking about provision. I mentioned didn't have a lot of money when I was a young man and preparing for the ministry and working with Charlie Ware in the church and got married and started having kids. We didn't have a lot of money. We had to eat out of the tomato garden. I remember when my wife ate so many tomatoes that she was throwing up with morning sickness, and she didn't eat tomatoes for a long time. I mean, we had some hard times. I remember getting offered a job, and it would be today the equivalent of $75 to $100 an hour. And I turned the job down because I said, it's going to take me away from the church. It's going to take me away from being here Sunday morning, Sunday evening, you know, Wednesday night. And I always had money, always worked, always paid our bills. But we went through times of abasing. But you know what? During those times, God always provided for us. He provided. I don't know what it cost Brother Eddie to go to Disney World or Brother Z what it cost to go to Disney World. We didn't have a lot of money, but you know what? Our kids went every year to Disney World for the week and went through everything. It was 100% free to us. 100% free. We didn't pay one cotton picking dollar. My sister knew a girl from Bible college. My sister went to my Bible college. This girl went there named Donna. Her husband went to the Bible college. He was on the wrestling team. He worked for Disney World. And when we would come there with our whole family, he'd meet us at a gate and say, "Come on in." And all free passes all the time. I mean, this happened over and over again. Now, God may give you the money and you can go. Praise the Lord for that. That's great. But he did it for us by saving us the money and providing it for us. And I am saying that God will test you, but then he'll also provide for you. You know, here's just a little thing. You know, people say, "I can't afford to have my wife stay in the home, she's got to go out and work. She's got to go outside the home and work. Now, my wife had in-the-home incomes, but my wife was always there for the kids when they came home from school. She was always there for them. And one of the things I said to my wife, would you like to cut my hair? Give it a try. Now, for my early marriage, my last year of Bible college, I was graduating, and I said, honey, I need a haircut. Would you give it to me? She said, sure, I will. And she cut my hair, and it looked like steps going right up like that. And when I walked for graduation, it was a sight to behold. I said to Brother Bobby today, I said, I do strange things, Brother Bobby. I said, that's just me. I said, we were down there to pray at the Luzerne County Fair, and the guy reached in and he gave me a handful of chocolates, I thought. Looked like chocolates. I like chocolate. And I just stuck them in my mouth. I started chewing my... I said, these aren't chocolates. They must be gummies. And I started to chew them like gummies. Then they weren't chewing. And I went, and he said, they're not food.
Oh my goodness.
They were little Jesuses. And I must not be a very good Catholic because I wouldn't eat their little images of Jesus. And I'm just like, wow, where was I? Help me out, seriously. Yeah, I know that. Yeah, amen. But my wife cut my hair. Thank you. And when she cut my hair, it was kind of rough at the beginning. You know, it was rough. But then we had a first boy and a second boy and a third boy, and she cut all the boys' hairs, and the boys cut all our grass for me. And I could add it up. But you want me to just add up the haircuts that she saved me? She's still doing it. She's still cutting my hair. It looks a lot better now. I was out on an anniversary, and she cut my hair, just cut it while we were in the room, and just looking good. But anyway... get this, $66,250 she saved me on haircuts over all that time. $66,250, you need a raise. Her price, that lady back there, listen to me, her price is far above rubies. That's not me, that's God. That's what God says, Proverbs 31. And you men that have such a woman, that's what you got. Her price is far above rubies. And so guys that say, oh, I got to get my wife out there and work her and make her work, you're a dummy. And you're not biblical. You're about as unbiblical as a concubine. And you could be saving money. Plus, you get your wife out there working, and some guy, she's a young woman, is going to be hitting on her, right? Going to be hitting on her, and the next thing you're going to know, he's going to talk her into adultery. Yeah, women can get talked into stuff. And there are men that'll do it. And you know what I always say, the grass always looks greener on the other side of the fence, but when you get over there, you got to cut the grass. Then you got to weed the grass. And you find out, you know, it's smoking grass. It's not good. But a lot of that's going on. We've left God. We've left the science of money. And we've impoverished ourselves. And this country is in need to get back to God's principles. And God says, I will provide for you. And one more thing tonight, and that is not only God's plan for probation or testing, God's plan for your money is provision and to show you his provision, but God's plan for pathway. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Do you know God uses money as part of his directing process in your life if you are trusting in the Lord. In other words, you want God to guide your life, you put all your faith in the Lord. And you don't lean to your own understanding. What do you lean to? What the book says. You lean to God's understanding. And in all your ways, that's your decisions for life. You choose God's word and God's way, and He'll direct your path. But God will use money. You say, well, where do you get that in the Bible? Remember Elijah? He was at the brook. God was providing for his drink. God was providing for his food. And then the brook dried up. And God was using that brook to dry up to say, Elijah, I want you to move now. And where did he move him? To a widow's house. And God used money there too in another way. But God used that to direct Elijah's path. But, you know, Elijah didn't say, well, the brook dried up. It's time for me to take out my credit card and order a DoorDash to this brook. You know, we got DoorDash, we got everything today, you know, it's just all there. But wait a minute, how about looking to God and asking God to direct me when there's a financial situation that comes up? No, he sought God's guidance and God guided him. I think about the ministry. A lot of guys today, you know what the main thing is they're looking for? I'm talking about independent fundamental Baptist preachers. You know this, going out of Bible college. What's one of the main things they're looking at for ministry?
What's going to be their package coming in?
What's their package coming in? And they got this whole package there. And they get all of this money. I like what Brother Hiles said. He said, I made a decision. I'll never make money the deciding factor in where I pastor. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, workman is worthy of his hire, and that is a good thing. It talks about double honor and all of that. But I'm saying that I remember Brother Hiles. He went to a church where the young people voted for him, but the old established people were against him, and the young people outvoted the old people. And so he got the pastorate of that church, and the old people didn't like it. And who am I talking about? Deacons, treasurers, people that wrote the checks. They didn't like it. And so he got there, and they just said, we're not writing you your check. You know, they just didn't write him his check. You know what Brother Hiles did? He cut grass. You know what Brother Hiles did? He did work. And I understand that. We came to a point where we went through some hard times financially, and I said to God, I'm asking you to guide me. And he showed me, no, this isn't, I don't want you to leave. You stay right here. You work. You work. And you do like Paul did. And I did like Paul did. Remember, he had to work to keep going. And I kept going, and God brought us through that time. And we have wonderful testimonies of all of that during that time. But my main consideration for ministry is not money. God is the one that guided me and leads me, and God will provide for me. And I remember one time when we were in Florida, and the church called us to be the second senior pastor of this church, and they voted to do that in 1978. And I came up here and preached in September, and then took over in October of 1978. And I lived at Pastor Ware's house for a month. He was ministering down there, and I was ministering here. And I remember when I got back here, the church, I can't remember if they paid me anything or maybe something very little. It wasn't enough. So I got a job, and when I got a job, at the job, I'd worked there before I left to go to Florida, and they got a hold of me, and they said, you know what, we owe you money that we should have paid you under law. We just found this out. And they started paying me that extra money, and it took up until the church could pay me. But my point is that I didn't make money the main reason, but God was the reason. And that's what you need to discern, the will of God for your life. And God will use money as a way to guide you, but it should not be the ultimate deciding factor in your life. I'm saying God's plan for giving you money is to probate you, test you, and he will reward you at the judgment seat of Christ with the true riches. God's plan is to show you he is the provider. He is the one that gives you power to make wealth. And God's plan for pathway, he'll direct your paths as you put him first, not money, but you look at money and you look at God's guidance in your life along with the money, and you realize the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he will lead you and guide you in his way. Let's bow for prayer tonight. We've been talking about the science of money. We've been talking about God's purposes for